Hey, how's everybody doing? Good? Wow, everybody quieted down really good. I need a whistle like that. I never developed that skill. That's awesome. I'm amazed nobody's ever said anything about like the new seating arrangements, really. But it really is interesting. I mean, it's like a psychological experiment, really. When you see people walk into church, and everybody's got your assigned seats if you've been around for a while, and then it's like, where do we go? Where do we sit? People panic. You see just the panic in their eyes and the confusion, the doubt, the worry, the wandering, meandering. I think some people left our church. I'm just kidding. No. But it is interesting to watch and just see what people do. Where do they go? All right. So as we've been talking about, or has been mentioned already, we're doing a three-week series on loving God with all your heart, soul, and might. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for a little bit. So if we could show this first picture here on the next slide. Okay, so what does this guy love? Football, Chicago Bears, yep. He's into it. If anybody knows me, I'm a football fan, I'm a Chicago Bears fan too. I don't love the Bears like that. But you can see this guy, he loves the Bears, man. With all his heart, with all his face paint, with all his love, with a lot of money, I think, too, probably from that outfit, he's really into him. And I mean, honestly, being a Bears fan has been great for me because it's really broken that idol of football in my life because the Bears are really bad traditionally. And so it's just been really, I mean, God's really taken that away from me where I just expect them to lose, and I'm okay with that now. So it's been a good lesson in there. But this is a guy that loves them. I mean, he's found somebody he loves, and he loves them with all he has. And there's no shame, man. No shame in that love. Man, if we were like Christians like that, that'd be cool. This guy would be a really cool Christian if he's not. I don't know. Maybe he already is. So we're talking about loving God. Loving God. Do we love God like that? Like this guy does. Now, it sounds really simple and easy, but what does that really mean to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might? And what does that really look like lived out in our daily lives? And that's what we're going to be diving into over the next 3 weeks. So what does your relationship with God look like? Do you have that kind of a love for God? Do you have that wholehearted love for God like this guy for a sports team? If you're not, you're like me. It's okay. Man, that's why we're here. That's why we're at church. That's why we have worship and accountability and everything. Because remember, I'm up here, but I'm also sitting down there. And this message has gone through me a lot this week and challenged and encouraged and convicted me. And I pray that it does the same for you guys. So with that being said, without further ado, let's read. So we are in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. And let's listen as that's read.
Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
All right. I know David prayed for me already, but I need a lot of prayer. I want to pray again. And again, as David said before, as we're praying, ask God to speak to you through this too. Ask God to open up your heart, to put aside your distractions, and to hear what the Spirit's speaking to you. Father, we just give this time to you, Father. Lord, that you would be glorified in it, and that you would mold and shape us, Father, to be the men and women of God that you have called us to be with that wholehearted devotion. Lord, I pray that as I speak, that you would guide my words. And Lord, that as people hear, that you would guide their spirits, Lord. Help them to receive them. Help us all to receive them, Lord. Mold and shape us. Open our eyes to see your beauty and your glory, Lord. And incline our hearts to fall afresh in love with you, Lord God. We give that to you. Father, we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. So this is what's called and known in Jewish circles as the Shema. I think I said that right. Shema, which literally means like to hear, basically. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And this is recited by observing Jews daily. This is an important one. And rightly so. Anytime you see Jesus, I mean, you need to learn this. You need to write it down. You need to write it down again. Write it down again. Memorize it. Man, we better sit up and pay attention because this is important. And indeed it is. If you're reading the New Testament, this is one that Jesus affirms multiple times that this is the most important command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. This is the most important command. Yet, I mean, it's so simple sometimes we kind of brush it under the rug. Yep, I know I need to love God. Yep, I do love God. And we do that, but we don't really sit and think about what does that look like? Am I really, really doing that? Most of us believe, yep, that's true. Yeah, I do need to do that. And yep, and I do desire to live like that, but what does that look like? How do I actually live it out? And I think part of the problem is Americans, we don't really fully grasp this word love as much. I mean, because we'll say, I mean, like, I love pizza. I love football. And in the same sense, I love Jesus. They shouldn't mean the same thing. I hope they don't. But we use the same word for it. And so we get kind of this watered down love of I love pizza and I love Jesus. But obviously they should be different. But that's how we think of it because we don't have the language to go deeper into it than that, to really understand that. And that's not the kind of, this watered down love is not what God's seeking. If we love him just as much as pizza or fishing, man, we got a lot to grow on. But in Hebrew, as we'll dive into this, what this word is, what he's talking about with heart, soul, and might is our whole being, everything that we have puts into loving God. Everything that we are, everything that we have is loving God. It's a whole complete devotion is what he's talking about. And if you notice one word in this section that we go through a lot, it's shall. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall, you shall, you shall. You see, this is not an option. This is like, it'd be cool if you loved me. This is God. You shall love me. This is the normal Christian life. This is a command. This is what Christianity is about, following God is about. So we've got these three aspects here that he talks about, the heart and the soul and the might. And what we're going to do, I got a three-week series, so perfectly, there's three of them. So we're going to spend 1 week unpacking each of these things and talking about it. Don't you love like the Christian lingo? We're going to unpack it. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people, it's just cool and trendy. Nick and I were at one point trying to figure out a new way of saying that. We never have. So if you've got a cool new lingo that we can like modify and update, that'd be great too, because that one's gotten a little bit overused. So we're not going to hit the whole passage today. This thing we're going to break up over these 3 weeks and dive into it a bit at a time. But the big idea today is we're going to focus on the heart. Loving God with all of your heart, which means your mind, will, and emotions. That is loving God with all your heart. You see, we got to understand what the heart is as we start studying. What does it mean to God? What does it mean in the Hebrew language that this is written in? You see, in American culture, we think of the heart, and what do you think of? What do you think of when you think of the heart? Emotions, yep, I heard it out there too. Emotions, like, yeah, feelings, like, ah, I'm going to love with my feelings, and there's this heart emotion in there that ah, I love this, I love that. And that's it's our affections, our desires, our emotions. And that's what we think about when we think of the heart. But you see, in Hebrew culture, it was so much more than that. It was that, too. It is our emotions and it is our affections. But it's also the core of our intellect and our will. You see, if you read in the New Testament, when Jesus affirms it, he talks about the heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the reason that is because this is revolution to me, you know, is Jesus isn't just adding another word in there, but in Greek, heart and mind are different words. But in Hebrew, where we just read, heart and mind are the same. Heart and mind are the same thing. Both of those together are the Hebrew word for heart. See, it's not just our emotions and our desires, but it's our mind, it's our thoughts, it's our will. that go into loving God. The heart is the center of our affections, but also our thought life, our decision making, our moral character. It's where we feel things, think thoughts, make choices too. If you like cool acronyms or D words, desire, deliberate, and decide. It's where we can desire, deliberate, and decide. You can pull up the next slide on there too if you can. So this is what controls our will to act or to think. The heart controls our will to act or to think, to go about things. And this ultimately is where, you can go to the next slide too. This is where our obedience to God is decided on, or our rebellion to God. The heart is where that happens. Where our obedience to or our rebellion against God is decided is in the heart. So that's what the heart is. It's not just our emotions, but it's our intellect, our will, our desires, our choices. And God wants to be the center of all of that. All of that. Our greatest desire, our greatest passion, that which guides all of our feelings, our thoughts, our choices, our emotions. You see, church is not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Sunday and small group thing. It's not just a Sunday small group and devotion time thing. It's everything, every part of life, everything that we do, think, talk about, say. It's our sleeping time. I mean, it's everything about our life. That is what it is all about. And that is what God is seeking to be Lord of, to control of with all our heart, as it affects every part of our life. It is the center of every part of our life. We cannot love multiple things with all of our heart. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. Hate one and love the other. And that is so true. You can't have this competition. You see, God is all about sharing. He loves us to share, but God does not share the throne of our heart. God does not share that. That's what his place is, the throne of our heart. There's only one king on the throne, or there should be. And that is what we need to focus on and to live for, is that God would be on the throne of our heart, ruling and reigning over every part of our life, every aspect of our life. And our love for good and godly things should just flow out of that love for God. I am able to love my kids and my wife well because of my love for God and because of his love for me, as we'll dive into too. And all these things flow out of that love for God. So do we love God more than any of our other greater loves? Do we love him more than money, more than success, more than fun, pleasure seeking, joy? Do we love him more than our own family even? Is he the greatest love that we have in life? You see, God, we should be jealous over our love for God. God is jealous over us with a godly, righteous jealousy. And we should be jealous of our love relationship with God, that nothing gets in the way of that. That we guard our heart and reserve it, and that if anything gets in the way, man, we zealously get after it. We should be zealous to cleanse our heart from anything that tries to steal away that love relationship that we have for God, because we have that protection around it. Are we like that? Are we that zealous over our love relationship with God? It's aligning our heart, our will, our desires, and our thoughts with his, that what God wants, we want. What God wants, we want. It's like a marriage in a lot of ways. I mean, what my wife wants is what I should want, unless it's too expensive. Then we don't do that. But her goals become my priorities. I mean, like, hey, this is important to her, and because I love her, that is important to me. So I will make it happen. That is love. What is important to somebody becomes important to us, because our desire is to please God, to show him our love for him, because we love God. Our desire is always to please him, always to honor him. Like we sang about this morning, in all I do, I honor you. So relationship with God is our top priority, is building that relationship. And I say to, I mean, we were talking about devotions in there, and such too, in the open mic this morning, and I say this to challenge me and all of us. Man, a wholehearted devotion makes time for God, for prayer, for Bible reading, for that relationship with God. It isn't the leftovers. It isn't if I have time. It makes that time for God. And my prayer is that for me, that would be the case. And man, that I am forced to stop that time. I'm just like, oh, shoot. Oh, I've got to go, but I really want to spend more time in God's presence now, just reading my Bible or whatever it is. And not that we ever leave God's presence, but that's how much we desire to be in God's presence. We make time for that. We make time. We fight for it. We're zealous over it. We're jealous over that time with God. So all of our love for God should be what all of our life comes from, that everything revolves around this love relationship we have with God. So how do we go about doing that? How do we make him the center of our thoughts and our affections and our will and our desires? How do we do that? The center of our choices. And the answer is usually it's simple, but it's not easy. Don't you get tired of hearing that sometimes? It's simple, but it's not easy. I wish something was like just simple and easy. That's why we watch TV sometimes, I think. It's simple and it's easy. But following God with this wholehearted devotion is very simple. It's simple to understand, and what he asks is very simple, but it's hard to do. It's not easy to live that out. And as I was thinking about this and trying to figure out what does this look like, what God brought to my mind was just this. It's a filter, basically. It's hard to see a little bit. But, I mean, what you do is, I mean, if you want to, like, get something out of a liquid that you're doing or something like that, you put a cup down here and you pour it over, and anything you don't want down in here gets caught up in this, right? And this can be different sizes, different things like that. So this filters out what you want to get. It filters what you like to get down here or where you want to get out here. It gets rid of the stuff that you don't want, basically. And that is what I pray that our love for God is, that wholehearted devotion, that it is the filter through which we funnel everything in our life, all of our thoughts, all of our decisions, all of our emotions, all of our desires, that we filter it through that so that only what shows love for God pass through. So that filter is what pleases God. Let that come through. I mean, if it pleases God, if it honors God, let that be what passes through. So I was thinking, I mean, some examples of this too. I mean, if we're struggling with like greed or jealousy, we're thinking about, okay, I want to buy a new truck. Why do I want to buy a new truck? And we kind of put that through the filter. What is my desire? What are my emotions in this? Why am I making this choice? And we think about, I mean, is this a wise stewardship? Is this honoring God? Or is it just jealousy or greed or something like that? What's my emotion in there? Or why am I seeking this job? Why am I wanting to do this or that or the other thing? Why am I thinking this thought? Am I thinking with fear as my controlling factor? That is not trusting in my God. It's not honoring my God. How are we thinking of through those things? If I'm discouraged, putting that discouragement through this filter, why am I discouraged? And realizing, man, I'm not accepting what God has given me. I'm saying God is not enough. So putting things through that filter of our life to understand, what does God want in it? What's God doing in it? Am I doing or feeling or thinking these things out of selfish reasons or because of my love for God? And that's all life decisions, big or small. As you make those decisions, put them through that filter. Am I loving God? How can I love God with all my heart, mind, or soul and might through this? What am I working towards? What am I desiring? What are my motives in all of that? And I'm not saying don't have any fun. I'm not saying that fun is bad or anything like that. But we put it through that filter. Why are we doing that? And just, I mean, this is an aside for guys. A great way to do it, man. You don't say, hey, I want to go hang out with my buddies and go fishing. You say, honey, I want to go fellowship with my Christian brothers and enjoy down on the water fishing while we do that. Man, that it just it's the same thing, but it sounds so much more spiritual. So, I mean, what is our motive on doing those things? And honestly, it really can be. I mean, while you're together with guys, talk about God. While you're together with ladies, talk about God, encourage, build each other up, strengthen each other. We need to encourage each other in our love for God very, very much. Take that time of fellowship and use it well. And I want to touch on this, and we'll touch on this a lot more when we talk about might, but sin, as we talk about what we put through that filter, sin. Sin is the main thing to filter out. Sin will kill our relationship and our love relationship with God faster than anything else. Faster than anything else. The Bible calls sin spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery because it is adultery against our covenant relationship with God. And it's a big deal. It is a big deal. Do not take sin lightly. Do not take it lightly in your life. Man, if there is sin in your life that is hidden, that you're just putting up with, that you're letting live in there, kill it. Get rid of it. Because it will kill your love relationship with God faster than anything else will. All right, so we're talking about this filter that we use in our love relationship with God. So what about when you're not feeling it? You ever go through those times when you're just dry and you're just like, man, I'm just not there. Man, I just don't have any desire for God, not hungry for God. Anybody ever been there? Just me? No, I don't do that. But, yeah, okay, there's a few out there, sweet. Where you're just feeling dry. You don't have that passionate relationship with God. You just feel like you're going through the motions. And emotions are hard, man. They can be so fickle. I hate emotions. They can be amazingly cool, and then the next minute, horrible. I could have an amazing time with God and devotions in the morning and just in love with God. And then I come down and my kids are misbehaving and I yell and scream at them. And it's just like, man, we just pivot so quickly. So quickly. I mean, that's that song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I feel it. Take my heart and seal it. That idea, I mean, man, our heart is just so prone to wander. But the cool thing I was learning about and studying this about loving God with all our heart is our loving God with all of our heart is so much more than our affections and our desires. You see, it's this deep commitment with our intellect and with our will and with our choices. That is also loving God with all of our heart. So when you're not there, when you're struggling, you're just feeling dry, man, if we choose and will ourselves still to seek after God, to pray, to read our word, to seek after him as we go about our day, as we do that, then that is also loving God with all of our heart. It's not just emotions. It's our choices. It's our decisions. And one thing I guarantee you, as you persevere in doing that and making that time and making that a priority, God will meet you and God will restore your heart. Maybe it won't be right away. I don't know when, but God will restore it. It's just like in a marriage. Just like in a marriage. If you're just struggling in your marriage, man, invest in it. Buy her flowers, write her notes, write her poetry, whatever it is, invest in that marriage. And as you do, I guarantee God will stir up those emotions back into you. God will build that back in. And we should do the same. Matthew 6:21 says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. As we make God our treasure with our time and give him our time, give him our energy, give him our focus, God will put our heart into that more and more, our emotions back into that. And I encourage you to, as you do that, not just going through the motions, but also seeking God, asking him over and over again to restore the joy of your salvation. Restore that emotion of love with your Savior. Ask. Remember, this is a work of God. It is not a work of us. It's a work of the Spirit to stir up our heart to love God and to respond to him. So ask God to move in your hearts and to give you a greater love for him if you're struggling that. Ask and keep asking. And another thing that I encourage you to do too is just to remember, if you're struggling that, if you're in that dry place, recite and restore the memory of your own salvation and what God has done for you, why you fell in love with Jesus at first. If you're discouraged, if you're down, if you're frustrated, then man, get back into that. And as I was thinking about this, this week I've been struggling a bit, in the last few weeks, honestly, just relationally, personally, within myself, because I'm an outgoing personality, strive on relationships, and just felt a bit dry on that lately. I've had one friend that close friend that moved away a while back, another one that's in the process of moving away now, another close friend that's dying of cancer currently, and that's been hard, and I've just felt kind of this dryness in relationships, and alone at sometimes in that too, and I was just frustrated with that, and talking and pouring that out to God, and talking about him, and discouraged, and what actually ministered to me a bit was we watched the Chosen series. Been watching that as a family. And if you've seen this latest episode, they're in the Last Supper. And one thing they do in that that just stuck with me and hit me is, and the Chosen series is cool because it's like TV, but you don't feel guilty at all watching it. So like, hey, this is spiritual, I guess. I don't know. But watching that series at the beginning of the Last Supper, they did basically this Jewish tradition where they would go around and they would talk about if God had only done this and not this, it would have been enough. Now, I'll see if I can get through this without tearing up because it spoke to me a lot. But they were talking about the slavery in Egypt and coming out of that and basically saying if God had just rescued us from slavery and had not killed the firstborn, it would have been enough. If God had just brought us through the Red Sea and not brought us to Mount Sinai, it would have been enough. If he had just brought us to Mount Sinai and not in the Promised Land, it would have been enough. And God just spoke to me and was just like, if God had just saved my life, it would have been enough. If he hadn't given me an awesome family and an awesome church and blessed my life in so many ways, it would have been enough. I mean, if God would have saved me and ransomed me and I would have been in a prison cell, deepest, darkest part, it would have been enough. Would have been enough because God's love for us is always enough. It's always enough. And if you're a believer, the salvation that he's given you is always enough. Always enough. So as we wrap up here, just a simple question. Are you in love with your Savior with all your heart? And all of us would probably say, probably not as much as I should be. And that question isn't meant to beat you down or to discourage you or anything like that. But it's meant to inspire you that there is more. There's so much more. Loving God with all of our heart is this glorious, amazing thing. Because like being a Bears fan, loving that with all my heart would be a very big disappointment. And anything that we love apart from Jesus with all of our heart will disappoint us, will discourage us. It will fail us, I guarantee you. But man, loving God with all your heart will never fail you, never disappoint you, never discourage you. It will cost you, but it will never disappoint you. That's the beauty and glory of it. So my prayer is that you would be inspired afresh to make him the center of your life, to give him your whole heart. Give up that throne and let him rule and reign over your heart and over your life with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. One more scripture I just wanted to share with you, and this is Matthew 13:44. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. As I mentioned, man, loving God with all your heart will cost you. You will have to give up some selfish desires. You will have to give up sin. You will have to give up things that hurt over that time. But my prayer is that we will be like this guy. He had to give up everything to go and get that treasure. But it wasn't like, ah, man, this is what I should do, I guess. All right, here we go. It says, in his joy, he did that. He gave up everything, but in his joy, because he recognized that what he was getting was infinitely better than what he was giving up. And I guarantee you, as you make Jesus your focus, the love of your heart, love him with all your heart, man, you will not be disappointed and you will not regret what you have given up to get there. That we would have the eyes to see the beauty and the glory of our Savior, That is my prayer for all of us, that we would have eyes to see him and the beauty and glory of who he is. So here's a few questions to ponder, if we could put up that, just to think about for a minute. How can I grow in loving God with all my heart, with my emotions, my thoughts, my will? How can I grow in loving God with all my heart? And again, if you're in a dry season, man, how can I still pour into my relationship with God, even when the feelings aren't there? How can I grow in love? What do I need to, and then what areas am I still holding back from him? What is competing with that, with God for the throne of my heart? What's competing for that? What am I not putting through that filter? And then lastly, what is stealing from my love for God? What is stealing away from my love for God? Other desires that are competing with that. And chiefly, as we mentioned, sin. What sins are stealing away your loving from God? Are watering that down, drowning it out? Man, lay those down. We're just about to take a communion here. But before we do that, I want us to take a minute and ponder these for a little bit and think. And if you, as you do that, man, if there's sins that God, that the Spirit brings to mind that are stealing away from your love for God, take a minute to repent of those. And my other encouragement in this too is, like has been talked about, accountability. Man, get that. If there's a sin issue that you are struggling with that's stealing away from your love from God, there's a beautiful thing that God's given us in community here, where there's accountability. You don't have to fight that alone. One, you have the Holy Spirit on your side fighting for you. But two, you have Christian brothers and sisters here who would love to encourage you and help you in that. So get accountability in that. Also in your devotion time and reading and such like that, get accountability on it. Don't try to fight that alone, because you've got so much help here of people that care. So let's take a minute and ponder that with the Spirit's help. And as God brings things to mind, repent, praise him, think over that. Let's just take a few minutes for that. And as we look towards communion, what a cool reminder. There's no greater reminder of the love of God than communion. We were just reading in our family devotions and in Luke, and we read about the sinful woman who was washing Jesus' feet with her tears. And Jesus said, in and through that context, he said, she loves much because she has been forgiven much, basically. We love. He who is forgiven much loves much. And man, my prayer is that we would remember how much God has forgiven us from, what he has taken us from, all the sins that he has forgiven from us. You see, as we understand more and more the ugliness of our sin, we understand the beauty of God's grace. And that will make us fall in love with him afresh. So man, if we are not struggling with loving God, remember how much God has forgiven you. You see, we have to realize the depth of that sin and that ugliness, that that chasm separated us from a holy God, and that Jesus hopped on the cross for us, took that sin, that hideous sin that we were trapped in, that we were stuck in, where sin and death ruled over our lives. He took that upon himself, took the weight of our sin upon himself, the weight of that death that was so contrary to him who is life and who is holiness. He took that upon himself for us. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. We have the ability to love him because he first loved us. So man, let God love you. Break down whatever walls. If you're having a hard time receiving God's love. And I really feel like, even as I'm saying that, David was talking about a word before, but there are those who struggle with receiving God's love, just letting God love you. And in turn, you're struggling loving God back. And so I encourage you, God wants to love you. Let him love you. There's nothing that you have done or could do that will hold back his love for you. Let him love you. Let him forgive you if you will ask him and seek that. But Jesus took on the penalty of our sin and our death, bore it upon himself on the cross. His body was broken for us, which is why we take of the bread. His blood was shed for us, which is why we take of the juice. And we remember what Christ has done for us, how he loved us, so that our future could be in heaven with him. So I encourage you, as you come and partake of communion here, don't do it because you should. Don't do it because of habit. But do it because you love Christ with all your heart. And amen. And again, if the emotions are there, do it and think of it and thank him and ask God to restore that love for him that you did at first. So come up and remember what he's done for you. Come and partake and receive.